You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Call him every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, yeah, Tuesday. I love the Tuesday. Who doesn't love the Tuesday? It's CMT. It's got all the trimmings. DNR with you, 98.7 ESPN. I mean, I love CMT. I love Stuff You Missed. I love the three stars. I love that the fact that we have 4 hours together. And I know Rick does as well. 1-800-919-3776. It's happening again. Mets win. Yankees win. I mean, you know what? This eclipse is a very good sign.
Sounds like
happening.
The Rothenbergs won last night.
Yeah, Alex, it seems like he suffered a concussion in lacrosse, so that was not a great thing. But in his
the
JV
reason why
debut,
he ended up having to sustain the concussion was
his third goal in about 5 minutes.
Right.
Yeah, of the first quarter.
Got cheap-shotted.
You didn't like that.
I did not like that.
It was very dirty. So then Ben had a baseball game. I go to that. I get home, and Alex, he's calculating. He goes, you know, had I stayed in the game, I could have scored 34 goals. I said, I'm not sure you would have gotten to 34. He's like, why not? Why not?
I was like, why put a ceiling on what he can do?
Terrific.
You get three in the first 3 minutes. Come on.
Yeah, but no, really. So, I mean, you know this. So the concussion and the trainers was out on the field, and we had to wake him every couple hours. And it's so funny. I wake him. I'm like, they're like, just ask him his name. Like, anything. And so I go in. I'm like, Alex. No, I said, what's your name? Dad, go away. It's Alex.
I'm fine. Leave me alone.
Yeah, he's like, just please go away. I want to sleep.
I want to score 34.
Yeah, 34. So, yeah. But, I mean, that Mets win. I mean, tell me as you're watching that you didn't think to yourself, they're absolutely going to blow this game. Like, unequivocally going to blow this game.
Well, forget blowing it. I mean, Juliette, you're down 4-0.
Right.
Right, and then find a way, Brandon Nimmo.
Nimmo comes alive.
The Rothenberg type performance last night. Two game tying home runs, and then with how much you've had to use your bullpen, you don't have some of your better relievers available, so you have to find a way to piece it together.
When Ozuna hit that ball,
TJ Stewart, first hit of the year, ends up being a 2-run home run, and then you're right. I mean the Ozuna went to left field. You're like, oh no!
I couldn't believe that. I couldn't believe it stayed in the park. I thought it was going to be 40 rows deep into the.
I think that's
stands.
What he thought too. But that was an unbelievable catch, and that's a huge win for them.
Huge win for them, and they never win games like that. Ever win games like that against Atlanta?
Dude, and on top of the fact, you're going up against Charlie Morton in Atlanta against, I mean, maybe the best lineup top to bottom in Major League Baseball, and you have Julio Teheran on the mound, and. Yeah.
You wonder, I mean, would you say that Atlanta is, and again, it's a great win and we want to get into it, 1-800-919-3776, but would you not say that Atlanta is one of the smartest organizations in baseball? Okay, they were like, Julio, bye-bye. We'll see you.
Well, right. I mean, he was at his house in Miami for like 12 days, right? And the Mets decided that they needed some help with the rotation, so they brought him in. But, I mean, there was no way when you looked at this matchup going into it that you loved your chances in Atlanta.
No, and then down 4-0?
Down 4-0, they find a way. And this is a game, too, where another 0-4 for Lindor, another 0-4 for Pete. I mean, Pete struck out on three pitches with the bases loaded.
If I would have told you Mets are going to score 9 runs and Lindor and Pete are going to look lost at the plate, you would have said there's just no way that's going
to
happen.
And I would have been, it would have been tough for me to believe that they would find a way to win.
Absolutely. So I want to get into the college basketball. We'll get back to the baseball. Again, 1-800-919-3776. So Ben had a game at Dutchess Stadium last night, which is the Yankees single-A ballpark, the Hudson Valley Renegades.
Nice.
Sitting there, And what do you think of, not that everyone recognized me, certainly, but of the people that knew who I was, that come up and say something to me, what do you think the biggest topic happened to be yesterday?
Biggest topic yesterday was, the national championship game?
Nope. Not that they came up to discuss with me.
The Yankees?
Nope.
Mets?
Nope.
Rangers Islanders?
George Clooney.
Come on.
Guy walks up to me, you would allow your wife to be with George Clooney? I said, no, I didn't say that.
You said you wanted to be in the room.
No.
That's exactly what you said.
No, I said, had it happened prior to me meeting her, I would be okay with it.
Could you imagine if I was in the
room? About my wife with George Clooney.
Yeah, but not now. Like back before I was with her.
No.
I get to see what he's doing.
But you'd be with her still, though.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Why would you just be randomly in the room?
Well, maybe I'm looking for a place on Lex, and I'm like, wait. And I wander in.
Let's grab this guy off the street and have him watch.
Maybe there's a fondue, right? I don't know. I walk in. I'm like, what's going on? Oh, hello.
Hey, George, what are you doing exactly right now? Yeah. He seems to like it. Let me write some stuff.
You mind if I take a shorthand? Three separate people. Not national championship game, not Mets, not Yankees, not Islanders, Rangers. You would wear that as a badge of honor? I was like, yeah, absolutely I would. 100%.
I mean, it was the first text we got after the show.
Yeah.
Was about that.
Of course. Unbelievable stuff. So, no, let's get into UConn. I mean, my God.
Can we just mention, too, with the Mets?
Yeah, of course.
Brett Beatty.
Yeah, he had a good game.
Yeah, and even... it feels like
it's coming along.
We didn't talk some of the defensive plays he made either in that last series. Couple of defensive plays he made, man. Even the base running last night. Great read, gets to second base before that DJ Stewart home run.
Yep.
Like you can tell he's starting to, and he's actually being more vocal too. You know what I mean? Like he seems like he's
good. I'm glad
he now feels like kind of like he's established himself a little bit, so he feels like he belongs. Which I'd say the same thing about Volpe. I know you want to get into UConn.
Oh no, that's fine. Volpe, it feels like he has clearly gone into that next phase of his career.
They're 11 games in.
Yeah.
I'm all set with umpires right now already.
I told you weeks ago.
Happened in the Mets game.
It's time.
It was clearly a fair ball. Calls it foul. And it's like, oh, maybe it was fair. It's like, come on, man. And then both of Volpe's strikeouts last night. It's like this team
is. So you ready now for robot umpires?
I'm ready.
Okay, I told you that a couple weeks ago. And you're like, I don't want to take jobs away from people.
I was happy that he's like, come on, that's twice. Like, what are we doing here? Like, I pride myself
it's
on.
It's embarrassing.
I pride myself on knowing what the strike zone is and twice.
John Heyman, who is, I mean, he's terrific, but he's not looking for headlines. He tweeted yesterday, he said, at what point do we just stop letting Angel Hernandez umpire
games? He stinks. And somehow it becomes about him, and he loves it.
Oh, he eats it up.
Absolutely loves
it. How strong is the umpires union? There's nothing they could do about this guy.
Well, I was listening to Kay yesterday. He's like, all the umpires love him. I was like, I don't care if the umpires love him.
I don't care if his mother, Teresa.
I don't care. That's like, his teammates like him. Well, he's hitting 048.
Right.
I don't care if his teammates love him.
But his teammates love him. But he hasn't gotten a hit since the Ford administration. Like,
That would be the equivalent. Like, player equivalent of Angel Hernandez. Like, what's his batting average? He's just a hair below 100. But his teammates love him.
Like if Joey Gallo was the most beloved player, do you want him on your team? No. He's unplayable.
No, like he could be like just the guy that hangs around the clubhouse.
You know what else I had happen to me yesterday? I didn't tell you this. So I'm at Alex's game, and then I'm in this, because 5 minutes in, he's done. Done. Can't play on the bench. Obviously, they shut him down. But now I got to stay for the entire game.
Of course.
Which is another hour and a half.
I'll stop.
Well, you tell me you'll stop. I have five hours of kids' sport.
First JV game. Stop.
I understand. So he's on the side. I'm there. It's very buggy. Bugs flying all over the place. Right after the game, I'm in the midst of speaking. Bug right down my throat.
Oh, you swallowed it?
No. So in front of like 10 people, I'm like, get it up, spit it out.
What kind of bug? Like a fly?
Like a gnat? Like a little? It was awful.
What a night you had.
It was awful.
This
is why I don't like to leave the house.
Yeah, me either.
It was awful. And then I'm thinking to myself, I don't know where that bug has been and the disease it could carry.
No, you're all right.
What do you mean? It could be a malaria-laden bug? No?
We take care of you.
Fine?
Yeah, you're fine. You didn't need it. You just spit it out.
Yeah, but still.
You choked it up.
Oh, I can't imagine those poor people who are with me. They're like, this guy's disgusting. But what was I supposed to do?
There's nothing. Either you swallow it or you spit it.
I got it out.
Yeah.
But it was...
choice.
It was a fight.
Well, I can imagine. It's probably deep down there. It sounds like you sucked it in.
The uvula? You familiar with the uvula?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was in that area.
Interesting.
And I fought with it because he wanted to go down.
Oh, he did.
He felt bile, stomach juices. That's what he wanted. Right. And I fought with him.
Good thing you got a gag reflex.
Thank God.
Coughed that thing right out.
My years of practice. And, right. And I was able to get that thing out. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So, national championship game.
Yeah.
I mean, I here's the thing. UConn is immensely talented. They are brilliantly coached. They are big game ready. And they were, again, for the second consecutive year. But this year, they were the hunted. They were, from beginning to end of this tournament, clearly the best team.
Right. And actually more dominant than they were last year.
Which is unbelievable.
It's hard to imagine that. And then last night, I mean, Edie had a good game. And it was clear that, we'll let him get his.
Absolutely. You will not shoot the three.
Right. Well, speaking of which, NC State, they made 10. Last night, they made 1.
They shot only 7.
Right. Well, but, dude, I'm telling you, I've said this the entire time. Even, watching them on both sides of the ball, especially the offensive side of the ball, and when they, even how they handled the press, there's no panic at all.
None.
They run through their offense. They run through their sets. They're not sped up. It's just like they systematically just wear you down. We know we're better than you. We know we execute better than you. And by the time you get halfway through the second half, it's like, oh, this one's done.
It was over. I mean, did you ever have a doubt that UConn was going to win that game? Because I never did.
No. And Edie got off to a hot start, too. And I was like,
well, Edie's terrific.
We've seen this.
It's so brilliant what Danny Hurley did. And he's a couple things. Firstly, if I was going up against him, I would hate him. I would detest and despise Danny
Hurley.
And
he probably would like that.
Did you see him yelling at Edie last night after the screen?
Yeah, he actually touched his players at one point, and they're like, no, you can't do that. He like, get back in the coach's box.
I mean, he is a wild man.
He is, and his players love him.
But if he's your coach, you love him. If he's the coach of the team you're going up against, you absolutely despise him.
Right, I tell you this all the time. Whenever I coach, for some reason, I talk myself into hating the other coach to get me in like that.
I do the same thing.
He would be no problem. There would be no work
necessary. Oh, no, you wouldn't need to.
I would look at him and be like, can't stand.
You would need to Michael Jordan, Le Bradford Smith make up stories in your mind about how he's a bad guy. No, look, he is a very, but if he's your guy, immensely likable, right? I mean, look what he's done with this program. This is their sixth championship in, 25 years?
Yeah, right. And this is the first back-to-back since that Florida team.
Right.
You talked about yesterday.
But the difference between that Florida team is,
they brought their whole team back.
The entire team came back. This UConn team was a very different looking team. I mean, some pieces remain, but for the most part, a very different looking team. And how about this? I'm looking right now. Favorites to win the national championship next year is
UConn and Duke.
UConn and Duke.
Yep.
So could you imagine if you had a three-peat?
Yeah, so why would you leave for Kentucky?
Because it's Kentucky.
Well, what does that mean?
Kentucky is
there's six national championships.
I get it, but when you think of if there was a team that had more championships than the Yankees, I know there's not, but if there were, the Yankees have that appeal. No, I mean, I'm telling you.
I don't know, man. Now you take both. You take the women's and the men's basketball. I mean, they're a basketball powerhouse.
Well, I don't know what the women's has to do with that.
In general.
I'm not denying that.
It's a school that's known for their great basketball programs.
And nobody cares about their football, right?
Oh, the thing.
Right. They are the thing. In that state, they are the thing. But listen, I'd love to see them stay. I like it when UConn is good and relevant, but there's something about Kentucky. I mean, when you think of the model university for college basketball, I think Kentucky. You clearly
think of Kentucky. I think Duke, North Carolina. I think Kentucky.
I think Kentucky's right up there.
I think they're right up there, but I think UConn's right up there now.
I think they're up there in discussion. I don't think they're up there when you think of the elite teams. Listen, I hope he stays.
All right,
I just
but think why? That, okay, here's the other thing, though. So I'm going to leave this job.
Right.
And it's probably going to be if you did because for more money. And if, I mean, you think the prestige of being the head coach of Kentucky.
Right.
You just said what? I'm the favorite to win a national championship again.
Correct.
So I can three-peat? Well, I'll stay. We'll stay.
I hope he stays.
I think he should stay.
Well, here is Danny Hurley. Are you entertaining other jobs? I haven't heard this. I'm sure he's going to say he's not, but here he is.
Yeah. I don't think that's a concern. You know, my wife, you should have her answer that.
So,
wife ain't going anywhere.
No, she loves Connecticut.
So they write that check, and they're like, well, maybe we'll think about it.
Right. That's the thing. Kentucky is like Texas in football. They can write a blank check for what they want. They have donors that will give. I mean, he'll wind up getting over $10 million a year if he goes to coach Kentucky.
So does Arkansas, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
All that Arkansas money.
That's thanks to Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones.
Cowboys money.
Jerry Jones buoyed that. Danny Hurley as well, on top of just winning, says this back-to-back more impressive than Florida and Duke going back-to-back.
It's the best two-year run, I think, in a very, very long time, just because of everything we lost from last year's team. To lose that much, do what we did again, you know, it's got to be as impressive a two-year run as a program's had since prior to whoever did it before Duke. To me, it is more impressive than what Florida and Duke did. They brought back their entire teams, and we lost some major players.
Listen, it's hard to argue with that. It really is. It's hard to argue with that. They brought their entire teams back. I mean, Leitner, one of the greatest college basketball players in the history of the game, Bobby Hurley, Grant Hill, Thomas Hill, and now they beat a better team than UConn ever beat. That UNLV team, the first run, was a sensational team, but this is one of those all-time performances from UConn.
And by the way, good for Danny Hurley, too. I told you I listened to him on McAfee, and it was a really good interview, but he was just talking about, you know, how hard it was for him to deal with the fact that his brother was Bobby Hurley.
Yeah, right.
His dad is a legendary coach, and kind of how do I fit? Like, what am I?
He was always kind of like the ugly duckling.
Dude, he locked himself in his dorm room and wouldn't let anyone in. Finally, he kind of sought help and started to figure it out. But now, I mean, establishing himself as like one of the best coaches in college basketball.
Yep.
Back-to-back national champion. I mean,
a favorite to go three in a row.
Good for him.
Good for him. Great for him. It's got to be. I mean, those are big shadows to live in, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, right. On both sides of that, though. Like, you're a basketball player. You're living in your brother's shadow. Then all of a sudden you become a coach. Now you're living in your dad's shadow.
Right.
You can't get away from it.
But he's a higher recognition coach than anybody in his family has ever been. And Bobby's a coach, too.
Right. But he's a better coach than
right. But better coach than Bobby. And I don't know, better coach than his dad, but certainly on a bigger stage than his dad.
Absolutely.
Right.
I mean, dude, back-to-back in dominant fashion.
Right. Dad, high school, and big in
still
high school.
A legend.
I'm not taking anything away from senior, but legend. But Danny, to do it in college basketball, bigger stage.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I like Green. I know he likes you better than me. That's been established.
No, don't say that.
No, it's been established.
We have a relationship.
Right, as I thought I did with him. And I like him very much, but this is... I'm going to be honest with you. I think this is a bad take. I mean, I'm entitled to have my opinion.
Okay, well, can you tell me what it's about?
Yeah, I'm going to play it for you. He thinks Kentucky needs to call Rick Pitino. You know how old Rick Pitino is?
He's in his 70s.
Well into his 70s. Yeah. You really want that at this point now?
At this point, no. And does Rick Pitino want to leave St. John's now?
I think Rick Pitino is always willing to leave.
He's always available.
For the next. Iona was his, I'm never going to take another job again.
All right, but you knew that would come up.
Okay. But St. John's was, no, this is the last stop I'll ever have. Here is Greeny saying Pitino needs to get a call from Kentucky.
He wasn't run out of there, thrown out of there, or anything. He left the Knicks on his own to go coach Kentucky after having resurrected them and taken them to the playoffs and won a playoff round. He leaves to go to Kentucky and builds up what was going to be a dynasty at Kentucky. And then he was so big, the Celtics came and offered him everything. Couldn't have gone worse. And then he left. He went back to college. He went to Louisville, and he was won like crazy there. Call him and beg him. Rick, come back. You have two separate conversations about Rick. You can dislike him. Plenty of people do. I'm not his PR representative. I don't care one way or the other. But that guy can coach.
Nobody's denying that he is a good coach. Firstly, he hasn't won in quite some time. Right? And secondly, he's going to be 72 years old by the start of next season.
Right. Like, what's the longevity there?
5 years, maybe?
And on top of that, I mean, you heard, you know, Cal talk about it after another disappointing finish to their season, is that maybe he has to readjust how he does things. The whole one and done, you know what I mean? Like, it's
hard. And you know what the thing is? I meant to mention this is with UConn. So you always think like the five-star. You bring in a five-star, you bring in 3 5-stars, now you're the favorite to win the whole thing. So Tristan Newton was a transfer from East Carolina. Cam Spencer was a transfer, Loyola Maryland, then Rutgers, now UConn. Like, having 22-year-old, 23-year-old men who have been there and been through the battles is a huge advantage, even if they come from lesser programs. It doesn't make a difference.
Right, but you also have the opportunity now with the portal to understand. South Carolina did the same thing. Understand what you need, and you can address those issues.
Right. It's like you go shopping.
It's free agency. This is exactly what it is. You build your core group of guys, and then you supplement your roster with...
Who is the coach at football? It's like, yeah, if we want to bring in a really good quarterback, who is it?
Deion.
Yeah, he's like $2.5 million.
That's what I mean. That's what it is, though. He's like, what do you need? Well, I need some offensive linemen. Let's go to the portal.
So you go shopping.
But it's all sports now. Hockey's the same thing. Because they recognize, like, unless they are the, like, at BU, the Celebrinis, like, well, you know this is just, the kid's that good.
Right.
And it's not going to affect him when he's playing against grown men. You recruit older guys.
So you almost have to re-recruit your team every year.
With the portal you do now.
Right.
To make sure that they want to stay.
Yeah. So you have to treat them. Now, I wonder if it means that there's, like, not as much intense, nasty coaching.
Well, I think UConn's different. And I think that's probably why, if I was Danny Hurley, I would stay.
Because you have kind of carte blanche there?
Because you already have this thing built. Right? Like, you have guys, like, this is how, they know how he coaches. Like, he's already set the agenda. He's already set the culture of his team. Like, what Tibbs has done with the Knicks. Like, this is what we expect, and we're going to bring players in that know exactly how they're going to be coached and what's expected. So, you know, the players he has now know this is what you expect. Like, that's going to be, compared to how things were in Kentucky, like, that was actually one of the things that Seth Greenberg said about Cal. He said that he's lost his way. Like, he does not coach the players as hard as he used to just because of...
Because you can't. But why can you not if you're only keeping guys for 1 year?
Well, because it's the other guys that you want to have stay. Right? I mean, that's the part. You're trying to get guys to stay and want to stay. But at also, like, the same time, you're trying to, you know, make it where, hey, you're a freshman. You know, we know you're going to go to the NBA. You'll come here. You'll play right away.
Right.
And we're going to enhance your...
So What would you rather have in college basketball? The five-star who's going to be there for 1 year... Or the really good college player who's going to be there for 4.
I'd like a nice mix.
Uh-huh.
The way I would coach, I would want the...
Which is what UConn had.
Well, yeah.
Castle freshman.
Right. It's what Quinnipiac does in hockey.
Right.
It's the same kind of thing. That's what I would want, just because when you get in these moments, it's what good teams in general. When you're trying to win a championship, you usually lean on veteran guys with a nice mix of the young guys to keep the energy throughout the season, and then you have the older guys who've been there, done that.
Right.
Then the moment's not too big.
UConn's got it on lockdown. Klingon's good, too, by the way.
He is.
He's really good. Let's go to James in Pennsylvania. Good morning, James. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up, man?
Good. I actually played with Danny at St. Anthony's High School, and I played for his father. I knew Danny was going to be great at pretty much whatever he did. He was not, you know, the talented one. He was Bobby, I thought, was always super talented, but Danny was always the smartest one. He was so smart. It was times where I couldn't figure out stuff, and I would, you know, just go to him and talk with him, and he'll just figure it out for me. So he was always the smartest and the toughest kid in the room. He was a little kid, you know, from Jersey City, but he was tough as they come. And he was always going to be great at whatever he did.
So did you have a feeling when you knew him when he was a kid that he was going to get into coaching, or did this surprise you at all?
It surprised me because, you know, just him being around his father all of the time, I thought he would probably get away from it and just do something else. But once he got into it, and I knew that part, the strategy part of it and all of that, that's nothing to him. He could figure out a play, like, with anything in like 2 seconds. He knew all the plays. He knew everything. So once he got into it, I know it's in his blood. And once he started doing it, I just said this is going to go to a whole different level for him now.
Well, I mean, he's reached heights that I did not anticipate this quickly, certainly, or really ever.
Well, you got to figure. I mean, you're the son of a coach, right? Which is, I mean, obviously
of a legendary
to your benefit. So that's going to help as far as your basketball IQ is concerned. And then it's not always the case, but I find that a lot of the best coaches are not necessarily the best or most talented players. Like the ones that are just that gifted, a lot of the time have a hard time coaching because they can't really explain it. They just
right.
do it.
So this is funny you say that. So they used to ask Lawrence Taylor, like, would you like to get into coaching? He's like, no. Like, well, why? Because you're so smart and you understand the game and you see things that others don't see. He goes, because I don't understand how you just can't go around the offensive lineman. It makes no sense to me how you can't bull rush him, push him to the ground, and then get to the quarterback. And it's like, it makes sense.
Right, and it becomes there's a level of frustration. Because
that's why catchers are like mediocre catchers typically make very good managers in baseball.
Right, and that's, I mean, it's because, and a lot of the time too, it ends up being players that actually have really good careers, but they had to work for everything that they got. They had to figure it out. And I think Danny Hurley's kind of one of those guys where he has the benefit of having his dad who's a legendary coach.
Right.
And he also, I mean, to have even the basketball career that he had, you know, he wasn't as talented as Bobby was at basketball.
No, and he was a good player.
He was
like
a good player.
He played at Seton Hall. It's not like he was, you
right.
know.
But he wasn't going to be
no
an NBA player.
No.
No, so he, I mean, his greatest strength was probably his ability to think the game.
Bobby Hurley, to me, I don't know what you see. That, do you remember Bobby in college?
Like, I do. Yeah.
It always shocked me because if you looked at him, you thought to yourself, "This is a scrawny, nothing kid," and as he was unbelievable. But he didn't have size. He didn't have like he wasn't a big kid.
No,
he didn't have weight. He didn't have mass. I'm still realizing how great he was. You know what he had? He wanted to win more than anybody I think I've ever seen in my life.
Right. Runs in the family. Watch his brother coach.
Right.
he's desperate to win.
I love that.
I do too. You can't win. That's something you can't really teach. That's just something that people have it.
Right.
That competitiveness.
I mean, who wants to lose?
I don't want to do anything that I lose at.
I agree.
Because then it ruins everything.
I agree. And we have our big match on May the 5th.
Oh, I know.
And we're not going to lose. I feel good about this.
Well, let's just relax.
I'm telling you, I feel good.
Okay,
I have to have confidence.
I know you have confidence.
What do you want me to go in and be
silent
like, we're going to lose?
Silent confidence.
Okay. I feel good about it.
All right.
Oh, great news. Anita finally paid. Did I
you
tell you that?
You told me that, yeah.
She finally
well,
dug
she paid
deep
yesterday.
Into
it was
her.
Monday.
What?
I would hope so. I think it was the finals yesterday.
Well, she paid yesterday.
It was
she
nice.
The last person
who won,
to pay.
By the way?
Sherry.
Of course she did.
I mean, I feel completely comfortable telling you that
she
won.
Listen, it's not me. It's Grasso who thinks you cheat.
Listen, I don't care what Grasso thinks.
I'm just telling you. It's Grasso that thinks you cheat, not
That's
me.
Fine. Do you believe that there was some nefarious stuff going on with the pool?
I think there was. I was winning. I was winning after two weekends, and I finished like 40th. So I think there's a lot
well,
of...
Because, RJ, you lost having any team to accumulate points like before the Final Four.
Did I, though, or did you change my bracket? That's right.
I didn't change your bracket.
I'm wondering.
No, you're the one that was verbally exclaming, don't let me take Purdue. Don't let me take Purdue.
I was nervous because I like Purdue. That comes from a place of I watched them during the regular season, and I said, I'm going to fall in love with this team like I did last
See,
year.
See, I'm stupid. Because I knew UConn was going
to
win.
Well, you try to get too smart.
And I didn't take UConn, and I took Houston. And then when Shed went out, everything
and you did it
blew
with,
up.
Yeah, but you did it with our... When Jake came in with the picks.
What?
Like, you talked yourself into it.
Well, because
I'm not going to be lazy. Well, being right's not lazy.
No, I get that. But I didn't want to be just another one of the UConn
what, like another one
hangers
of people
on.
That's right?
Yeah, that's not what I wanted.
Well, yeah, but you weren't like just the... Like, this wasn't your first foray into college basketball. And you're just being one of those people like, oh, everyone's picking UConn. I'll pick UConn. You're a college basketball guy.
Yes.
And you recognize they're the best team.
If I had to rank college basketball as far as my favorite sports, it would be football clearing away number one. Know. I think it could be college basketball.
Really?
Too. Yeah, I think so.
Oof.
Yeah.
Wow.
Major League Baseball.
How far, like, how much ahead is college basketball from college football?
Oh, far.
Right.
Far ahead.
Surprising.
Yeah.
Because you love football so much.
I like college football, but I like college basketball much better. And it's weird because I understand the game is not as great as the NBA. It's not even close to the same. But I just something about college basketball I really like. Where is it for you?
Where is it for me? It's not nearly as high as it for you.
Six?
I would go.
I mean, you like golf better than college basketball.
I do. Yeah. Yeah.
Baseball?
I like college football better than college basketball.
So it might be
I
six
like
or seven.
I like hockey. NBA. Yeah, it's lower on the list.
Yeah. RJ, where do you have college basketball? Because I know you like it.
It's somewhere in the like 4 or 5-ish range.
4 or 5-ish range.
Somewhere in that.
See, I love hockey.
I think if I went to a school that had big time college basketball,
right.
It would probably
You know
be...
who coached your school at one point?
Pitino.
Yeah, Rick Pitino. What was I going to say? I had something now. I forgot it.
That you're killing the clock.
A clock schmuck. Right. I love hockey, but. I'm a Rangers fan more than a hockey
fan. You're going to like it tonight.
Oh, yeah, tonight.
So we slap you around tonight.
You don't believe that.
Yeah, I do.
Slap us around.
Slap you around.
Slap us around.
Slap you around.
Slap us around. I feel a wager coming on.
All right. Want some breakfasts?
Yeah. RJ, breakfasts?
I already owe breakfasts. I was actually going to bring it up. Maybe I pay off my breakfasts debt today.
Oh.
I owe you guys
breakfasts. But I can't eat anything. All I'm having is fruit.
Egg whites.
Is that going to change in the near future?
No.
Well, what do you want me to do then? Hold out?
Hold out.
He's got a very limited amount of time here for this nude photo shoot.
That's right. Well, I have 6 weeks.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
A couple of nasty emails I received
already?
So far today. Yeah. Stop telling fake stories. You're not funny and you sound stupid.
What kind of fake stories?
I don't know.
We got to elaborate. You can't send a nasty email.
That's what he said, Vince H. And then this Ted F. Your wife won. Shocker. You cheating bleep. F you.
Oof. There's no real in-between with you.
What do you mean?
You can think about my wife with George Clooney.
Like, people either adore you.
Right.
Love you.
Right.
Or
that would
despise
be,
you.
That would be adore.
Well, adore and love.
Right.
Yeah. Then they despise you.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's good, though.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, I mean, I don't want people to be like, oh, Dave Rothenberg and be like,
yeah.
Like, right, it's like, so, I love him or I hate him.
But I think there's a lot of people that would give up the love for less hate.
Doesn't bother me whatsoever.
Well, which is perfect. That's why I like working with you.
Really?
Pretty much
it doesn't bother you.
No, it doesn't bother me, but I could pretty much say anything to you.
Nothing will bother me.
Nothing phases you.
That's not true. There are like, occasionally there are things that could potentially bother me. Like when you attempt to give up my home address.
Yeah, but that's such a, but that's like the most random thing that would bother you. I've said way
nastier
things.
How is it random when he's giving up my home address that I get upset by that?
The only time in the history of working with him that he was actually mad.
Tell me you don't understand why him on the verge of giving out my home address and like streets that are located on my corner. that I was like, all right, enough. Don't be a jerk about this.
I think that was the only time you've ever been mad, I think, at anyone on this show during my time here. One. Two, I do understand why that's a problem. But three, I don't know that he ever actually gave out the address.
He was giving out restaurants no, which are around not. The corner from my
I didn't
house.
Know he was around the corner.
He was about to give out landmarks.
Yeah, yeah. That he was doing. That he was doing.
Like we said, Ray lives near Giant Stadium, and Ray had a nervous breakdown. You start giving out, like, the restaurant on the corner of my block.
I didn't know it was on the corner. I was just giving out a restaurant.
And Ray's that... still bothered by that.
Well, you did more than that, though.
No, I did not.
No, you were Googling, like, trying to find
you
exactly...
You were dropping hints about yes. the place
you
I
were
live.
Googling, like, luxury condo buildings near MetLife.
Yeah, with nice appliances.
And naming them.
Yes. Yeah. That was,
so.
Was not my finest okay. moment. But it wasn't as dangerous as what you did to
no,
me.
How
is it not as dangerous?
People, because there's tens of thousands of people MetLife, that live in that area.
No, MetLife is just as close to where he lives as the restaurant I gave away to where you live, I think. I don't know, because I don't know exactly where you, okay. the but restaurant is.
That's a major metropolitan city. There's probably hundreds of thousands of people that live within a four-block radius.
How do you know that it wasn't Ray that told me to do it as retribution?
I don't think it was.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think
You'll
it was.
Never know.
I think it was all
You'll
you. Because I don't think Ray's that. Let's ask him.
He is.
Let's go right to the Piper. Raymond, I don't believe it was you. You
I
can
just
be
hope
honest
that you're
me.
Never home alone when it happens.
Right. Well, that's great. Was it you?
I don't believe it was me.
No. It wasn't him.
No. You know what, Raymond, in his mind, he said, you know what? It's time for Dave to pay the Kiddler.
I got a couple emails yesterday from people that said they also heard Kiddler.
Yeah, we got to pay the Kiddler for having those rosters.
I don't hear the F. I don't.
I still hear the Kiddler.
We've got to pay the Fiddler for having those rosters.
The Kiddler.
Maybe he does say Fiddler.
I don't know, man. Sounds very Kiddlerish to me.
Yeah.
Very Kiddlerish to me. Right. All right, 1-800-919-3776. Yankees are, I don't think it's a real test of who you're playing right now, but you're 9-2. I mean, you're destroying teams. If you're a Yankees fan, we talked about this during the commercial break. When LeMahieu is healthy and able to come back, who do you even send down at this point? These are champagne problems the Yankees have right now.
Well, I think the biggest question, and you asked me this yesterday with the whole Cabrera thing, is long term, do you trust him?
Do I trust Cabrera?
Cabrera. There's a reason why they traded for Birdie. I mean, the only reason he didn't play was because he was just getting to the team, so they played Cabrera. Now Cabrera gets off to a great start.
Right.
And, okay, now he's here.
But that's what I've heard about forever.
Back.
Cabrera is going to be next in line. Cabrera is this.
Well,
Cabrera is that. Well, now Cabrera is that
right,
guy.
But you're also paying LeMahieu, though. And who's taking LeMahieu off your hands?
Oh, no one's taking him off your hands unless you eat a bulk of the salary.
Right. I think what's most impressive with this Yankees team right now being 9-2, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend like the Miami Marlins are a good team, is you're 9-2, and Aaron Judge hasn't even really got going yet. Right? I mean, he hasn't even got going yet.
Right.
Like last night, it was, big three-run home run from Soto. Volpe, same thing. And then Verdugo gets himself going last night. And you had Nestor give you eight. I mean, he didn't give his first hit to the fourth inning?
He was really good.
Rest your bullpen a little bit. Stanton pulled another fastball for a hit.
That's nice. I mean, again, Stanton is not going to be great. But if you can get through the season and say to yourself, you have confidence, some semblance of confidence when he steps to the plate.
Well, I think, you had a couple questions as far as, whether or not you thought that this Yankees team had the ability without Gerrit Cole to, compete for the division.
Right.
And then be a playoff team. And I think you said it, I said it, a lot of people said it. It would be starting pitching, we'll see what Rodon, it's a huge season for Rodon, Nestor coming back, like all those things with the starting rotation, but, offense would be much better than it was last season, because last season the offense was terrible.
It was horrendous.
So what kind of start would Juan Soto get off to?
So Soto's been really good.
Really
and then
good.
You get Volpe, who's been great.
And that was the other big one.
And Verdugo you just put him in left field, you don't have to worry. He's a staple out there. So now the Yankees are a far better team this year than they were last year. And I think that's evident now. And, we've seen them fall apart, and injuries you never know about, but I think they're going to be there all the way through, which is what I originally thought.
Yeah, well, I think it's what I thought too, and I thought most of that would be because the offense was going to be so much better than it was last year. And now, could you imagine when Gerrit Cole comes back, if he's Gerrit Cole?
No.
Right.
If he comes back and he's Gerrit Cole, I know it's early, but you start having the conversation of, is this the best team in baseball?
Well, look what's going on with the Astros now. Valdez gets scratched because he's got elbow soreness.
Right.
So who knows, then they're off to a bad start.
Yep.
You already beat them up a
little
bit.
They beat up on the Rangers, I think, last night.
Yeah,
but
well,
yes.
But that's a big, I mean, that'd be a big time injury for them. They lose Valdez.
Right. Well, Verlander's not healthy.
He's on his way back, yeah. He actually had a pretty good thing. I saw it was like almost, it's like 4.5 minutes, him talking about all the injuries in baseball.
But how old is Verlander at this point?
He's old.
What, 42?
He's old, yeah.
Right. So how much can you realistically expect to get from a 42-year-old pitcher?
I think he'll be good. I think he'll be fine.
I don't know. I was there kind
of. Kate Upton keeps him young.
On the early side where I said Houston's going to be a major problem for a long time. I kind of feel like it's shifting in the other paradigm now.
Oh, listen, I mean, it's still early, man. I mean, I think you got to relax on that. It's still early. Losing Valdez for an extended period of time would be a big loss for them, though.
So Verlander is currently 41. Did you know he's married to Kate Upton?
I do.
That's nice.
That's what keeps him so young and spry.
That's nice. Good for him.
You know what? He actually made a good point, too, about the whole injury stuff that we were talking about yesterday. He's like, his mindset had to change when they changed the baseballs. He's like, as soon as... Because before, you got to imagine, right? Like, you're trying to... The goal of the starting pitcher is, I want to give my team length. So if I can, early in a count, pitch to contact and get outs that way, as opposed to trying to be, swing and miss every pitch, full effort, every pitch, swing and miss stuff. He goes, once they changed the balls in 2016 and everyone was capable of hitting opposite field home runs, I'm like, I can't do that anymore.
I had to change my approach.
I had to change my approach.
It's so great, though.
Well, now you're ramped up and you go, I gotta miss baseball bats here. I can't pitch the contact.
Yeah, but it's nice that he's that aware.
So now you're trying to spin the hell out of it, which is brutal for your arm. It's sure. As hard as possible. And now you got no sticky stuff either, which, doesn't help trying to spin the ball. I mean, it's just that you wonder why all these guys are getting hurt.
No, I don't wonder. I don't. I mean, it is the most unnatural thing. Everybody throws a million miles an hour. You know why Greg Maddux never got hurt? Because the guy didn't throw that hard.
Well, the other thing, though, too, is you see this with Ben going to Stanford, like the pitch labs and everything else, like knowing exactly how much spin you're putting on the baseball.
Right. I mean, they measure that.
Right.
When I don't remember that until the last couple of years. Right? The amount of spin on every single pitch.
Dude, you can design new pitches with those high-speed cameras. You can design new pitches like in a couple of days. For these guys.
That's really cool. I mean, it's too much sometimes for me, but some of the like analytics and the minutia that they're able to pick up on is really cool.
It's amazing stuff, but there's a certain point where it becomes too much.
It does become too much. Aaron Boone, early takeaway from the team's hot 9-2 start.
I would say that the contributions we've got from the entire roster. I feel like we've been a solid offense night in, night out. We don't have everyone going off right now at the plate necessarily. I feel like we've been solid on defense and made really important defensive plays and winning moments. We've done a pretty good job on the bases. Our starters, prior to tonight, we haven't got a ton of length necessarily yet, but by and large, they've done a really good job of giving us a chance to win every night, and then different guys have been able to step up too in the bullpen. So it's been a little bit of everyone that's allowed us to get off to this start. 11 games in. We got a long way to go.
Long way to go. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of injuries between now and the end. And that's also true with baseball now as well. It's kind of a battle of attrition. Like, who's left standing when you get to October?
Right. But I think also what he's talking about is, which I think there's, they're 9-2. Like, how much better could it get? Is, that Gleyber Torres is going to hit.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, that Aaron Judge is going to hit.
100%.
Like, there are guys that you were like, well, what is Anthony Volpe going to be? Can he take that next step? And give this kid credit. He battled through all the adversity last season, said to himself this offseason, never again will my batting average be as bad as it was last season. And he went to work, and now he's reaping the benefits of it.
Yankees,
he had a half-decent umpire last night.
Yankees 9-2, Red Sox 7-3, Orioles 5-4. And I know it's early.
It's way too early.
I get it, but they count the same. I know we're sitting here on April the 9th, but wins still count the same. So if you can, I remember the Tigers in 1984, they went 35-5. And that's it. You're done. You've done everything you need to do. If you play 500 ball the rest of the way, you're golden.
Right. Well, you can't. I mean, what's the old adage? You can't lose the division in... You can't win it, but you can lose it.
You can't win it, but you can lose it
right.
In April.
You don't want to dig yourself such a deep hole you can't get out of it.
Right. Astros 4-7 right now.
See, that's the thing that used to always drive me crazy about the Yankees sometimes, though, is that, hey, sometimes we'll lose the battle to win the war. Well, the win the win that you're forfeiting now is going to count the same as the win that you chased at the end of the season.
Sometimes you got to win the battles.
Take as many as you can because you know it's bound to happen. Someone's going to get hurt.
Like games like in the past 5 years, we've seen the Yankees play like a Marlins team like this, and they wouldn't like you got to beat the crap out of this team. This is
right. And
bad
also take
baseball
advantage.
Team.
Like, you heard them. Our starters aren't giving us length. All right, we'll also take advantage of a bad team now, which they did last night. Nestor gave him 8 innings, which is great for the.
He
bullpen.
Was terrific last night.
He was great.
He was terrific last night.
It's not a great
night.
Team, but...
But who cares?
Like, it doesn't... In his mind, when he goes home and thinks about what he just did, it's not going to matter that it was the Marlins.
No, of course not. Confidence-wise. And it shouldn't matter.
I just went out, two-hit,
no run runs. From our standpoint, what we do, right, sports talk, you have to recognize that he had a great start against a team that's not very good and
right,
take it kind of with a grain of salt.
Right, but for an athlete, it all feels the
same. No. He should go home and be like, 8 innings of like, shutout ball?
I'm struggling. I'm having a problem, say, for me as a goalie the first period, struggling. Right, can't get out of the first period. Always a couple goals in the first period. It could be the worst team that ever laced up hockey skates. I post a shutout in that game. Oh, I'm rolling now.
Yeah.
I feel
well,
great.
Well, yeah, if you can't take like the baby wins and you know, compile them into this is going to start, you know, rolling downhill, you have no chance.
No, you need that.
It's stuff. Too hard.
Yeah, it's way too hard.
Here is Juan Soto. I you know what I don't like? Because I want Soto to leave. And I mean, ideally,
he's having
to the
so
Mets,
much fun.
Is And again, I think he at the end it. Of the day, it's going to be the size of the check that's going to make the ultimate difference.
You never know.
Was out there in right field and signing autographs and, you know, making friends. And here's the thing. I think of any Yankee that can afford to be bad in stretches, it's him. Because the fan base can't really afford to turn on him.
Right, he has the benefit. Of
right?
They all want him back.
They got to play nice. Now, you sign a 10-year deal after the season, and next year you start out 1-for-17, and we can get all over you. But right now, I think he's in a really sweet spot to be here with
the
Yankees.
Right now, he's loving life. I mean, he's already talking about how this team plays. Like they're already, I mean, bonded as a family. You have reports about him and Glaber going out and eating dinner, having you know, late night haircuts, the whole thing. Fans love him.
Love him.
He loves the fans. He's signing autographs before. He's doing, and he got off to a great start.
Oh, he's a great player. Here he is on the team being so close.
We all feel like a family right now, and it's only been like 11 games, and we already feel like we're sticking together, we're pushing together, we all want the same thing. So I think that's how I describe it.
Now, that's easy when you're winning games, right? Let's see what happens in the face of adversity.
Well, he's also had a little period there where he struggled, got off to a hot start, struggled.
But I'm saying
a
as a team, they haven't faced any adversity
at all.
I know,
but you haven't seen, like, his struggles haven't affected his overall personality.
I don't worry about, I mean, of all the things, if you made a list of 40 things that would concern you about the Yankees, Juan Soto wouldn't be in the
feels
top
like
40.
He feels like the kind of guy that enjoys the spotlight, that enjoys being held accountable. It drives him.
Feels like he's a big city, big market, primetime player.
More attention, the better.
Right. Like Washington,
Yeah, well, it's not easy to get up for those games. Like, there's something to be said about knowing you're playing in a place where, you know, the fan base is going to be engaged. They know what's going on, and they're going to hold you accountable for playing well or playing poorly.
But how many players in any sport relish the spotlight, want it, relish it, can't get enough of it?
I think the best do.
Right. I think Mahomes does, right?
Yeah, I think the best do.
I think some NBA players certainly do. I think Steph Curry does. But it's hard. Like, what motivates a guy like Steph Curry, who's been in every huge moment, you know, game 49.
Right, but I guess my point being this is that we start talking about those big moments. Those are like, you're talking about playoffs, championship kind of moments. I'm talking about like I was just thinking about this. They're 11 games in. They have 151 games.
It's forever left in the season.
It is. You want to talk about a grind.
It goes on
every
forever.
Every day to have the opportunity to play on a random weeknight with a fully engaged crowd makes it so much easier than playing in an empty building when you feel like crap. I mean, just it.
But what raises the level of your motivation?
You. That's it.
Right, but that's hard every single night.
Yeah, that's a bring your own.
So think about playing for the Marlins, or I mean, there's the Royals or the A's
Tampa sometimes when there's no one in the like you're a good team and there's no one in the ballpark.
Right. I mean, there's a juice, there's a buzz. At these Yankees games,
you can feel it.
Of course, you can.
And when it's good. And you got the crowd behind you on a game where you like it's just another game and you feel like crap. I mean, it absolutely helps your performance.
Here's Nestor Cortes, who was great last night, discussing Juan Soto, saying he's really everything.
Yeah, it's impressive what he does. He's so young. It looks like he's been in the league for a long time already, which he has, but, you know, it looks like he's been 10 or 12 years now. He just goes about his business like a true professional. I see him in here every day and works hard, wants to get better every single day, and then he shows it out on the field. He goes out there and performs, has really good at-bats on the plate, and really good right fielder, too, so he's just a complete package.
I know it's early again. Everything's with a caveat, but he's a much better right fielder than I expected.
His defense has been good, yeah.
You know,
yep.
Like I thought it was going to be a disaster out there. Like he's a pretty good right fielder.
Well, but how much? I mean, a piece of me would also probably think that going into a contract year, new team, that he's going to do, you know,
everything he has to do to
right.
to be that version
you
of himself.
Make sure he's not lacking.
I agree, and he's not.
Like there's, I mean, I'm sure there's times like right, get a little lackadaisical. Like no, I want to prove to everyone. What was that? That was the only criticism of him. He's not a great defensive player.
That was it. That was it. All right, let's break. We'll come back. The Mets. That was as good a win as you can have in April, as you've seen in quite some time. The Mets, are they rolling? I don't know, but they're playing some pretty decent baseball since a brutal start. 1-800-919-3776. DNR with you, 98.7 ESPN. All right, now for the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and the experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop on by and say
hello!
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.